Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Captain Caveman went off for another five RBI game yesterday as Evan Gattis hits another home run. That's 13 home runs. He hits five RBIs, the five RBI mark for consecutive games. He had never done it previously ever. Tuesday was his first time ever doing it. Well, guess what? He followed it up with another performance on Wednesday, and that's the first time in Astros history, right? Wex, Astros history.
Astros had history.
Back-to-back five
Even
RBI
the Big Bopper games. Never did that.
Big Bopper Glenn Davis never did it. It was never done by the great Cesar Cedeno.
Bogar never did it. Everett never did it.
No, those big bats. The great Astro Clipper Tony Eusebio never did it.
Well, he might have done it, but those games would have been like 30 days apart.
Well, it was an aggregate over like 10 at-bats, 10 RBIs. He probably did that, but it was over a seven-game stint. So, yeah, it was going to be one of those things. Hey, the Astros now have won seven in a row. The bats have really come alive over the last seven, and they should beat up on the A's again. Justin Verlander goes. The A's stink, but Justin Verlander goes today, and the Astros looking to continue what they were doing. They started the game yesterday two wins off of the pace for where they were last year over the same amount of games. So they're right there. They just are fine-tuning what they have to do, and I think Astros fans are in a weird position where not all. I think there are a lot of Astros fans who don't worry about anything at all, and I'm glad for those people that they don't worry. I tend to look at weaknesses and strengths, and I feel like I'm fairly rational about it. I wasn't worried about the bats early in the season. It's a normal component of baseball. It's actually a normal component of the Houston Astros. George Springer never gets off to good starts, ever, if you go look at all his splits. But I do think that it's not panicky and it's not outlandish to talk about issues with closing games with Ken Giles or whoever your quote-unquote closer is going to be. I don't think it's outlandish to mention that Dallas Keuchel has not had the consistency that he once had, and that's, you know, this is not just an issue with a small sample size of off games. I think it's been an extended period of average to at sometimes below average games where they spiral out of control early on. I don't think that's panicky, Wex. I think that's legitimately just an observation.
Yeah, I mean, the expectations are different now. You have a different team, and you realize what they are. I mean, in reality, like the A's are a 500 team, and the Astros have beaten them seven out of eight times, seven in a row now heading into the Verlander game. And the bottom of the order, like you mentioned in the first hour, when they hit, this offense is unstoppable because you're going to get something out of the top of the order. Bregman had the day off yesterday. He kind of bumped up everybody in the order. Yuli was batting cleanup. He's been on an absolute tear of late. The power's still not quite there, even though he did hit a homer during this road trip, which gives him two for the season. But he's hitting ropes all over the place. He's got 11 hits over his last four games. When those types of things happen, well, then you're golden because Springer, Altuve, Bregman, Correa as your top four, they're going to get something done nearly every single night. And the nights where they go off, again, same thing, ball game over. You also have Verlander on the hill, and he's on his way at this age, in this stage of his career, of starting another All-Star game.
Well, we're also incredibly spoiled now by the Astros. Even in a short time period, just that one season, we've become very spoiled after just one season.
Because they're loaded.
Yeah, that's right. They are loaded, and I had this conversation. I think it was with my brother on the show on Monday. I think you want, if you are the Houston Astros, you want to copy what Golden State has done. In other words, you want to be that young, the team with the young core nucleus that you have club control over for an extended period of time, and you've got a chance to build towards, you know, multiple titles. Now, in basketball, it is much easier.
Well, that's a very interesting comparison. What number does Kevin Durant wear?
Kevin Durant, God, is he six? I don't know.
He's 35. What number does Justin Verlander wear?
Is he 35?
Yeah. So, okay, let's piece it together. They're the Warriors. So Durant comes in to a pretty good team, puts them over the top. They're unbeatable. So Verlander is Durant. Steph, clearly, that's Altuve, right? You know, the fun-loving, smaller guy. Everyone gravitates towards him.
Yes, I would say so. Klay Thompson is... Well, wait a minute. Yeah, I think it has to be... Yeah, I don't know if it fits. Because who's George Springer? George Springer feels more like Steph, to be honest with you.
Well, I can't. Steph is Altuve. The MVP, yes, the original... You know, he grew up with the team. They put all their stock in him, and they thought he'd be good. But they didn't know he'd be this good.
Klay Thompson is Correa.
Okay, just that's fine. You can do that.
I think it's George Springer. I don't think there is a comparison for Correa.
Klay Thompson brings the energy to the ball club. He makes the club. He makes the locker room fun.
Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah. Klay Thompson is George Springer. We've locked that one in. Where the real question is, this fun-loving club Astros, who's Draymond?
I'm guessing it's Brian McCann.
It's Ken Giles.
No, it's not Ken Giles.
It's Ken Giles is on the road to perfection, by the way. It's still perfect in saves, but it's ornery. And you don't think Draymond's ever punched himself in the face before?
Daddy has. That's probably the only way we could get those two to say, yep, that's him.
Hold on, let's think about this. Who has...
The only the biggest difference is while everyone besides Warrior fans hates Draymond, everyone besides Astro fans loves Ken Giles.
I know, wait a minute. What about Lance McCullers is Draymond? Because he's got a little spice.
Well, the other team needs to dislike you, right?
Well, do you not remember McCullers and what was it?
Bregman is Draymond.
Bregman is Draymond. There it is.
Bregman's going to get under your skin via Twitter only, Ranger fan.
But he's exuberant on the field. I imagine in that Red Sox series, I forgot who had a big hit or a big home run when he's like...
Carlos Beltran.
He was like, I imagine that's if you're a Red Sox fan you're looking at, or a Red Sox player, you're like, shut up. It's Bregman. Bregman's the agitator.
It's got to be Wex.
I'm down with that.
He does feel like an agitator. Yeah. It's got to be Bregman. And then Iguodala is like probably McCann.
Well, see, we really should be trying to figure out who JaVale McGee and Swaggy P are.
Swaggy P is Jake Mariznick. No, JaVale McGee, because that's Shaq than a fool.
That's better. Yes, that's better. I can't imagine Jake Mariznick making it through an Astros parade in only a robe. He'd be torn from limb to limb by the crowd.
Swaggy P. Who would Swaggy P be?
Is this baseball just doesn't have
last year it was Cameron Maben.
No, it was not Cameron Maben.
He made random appearances, and sometimes he would steal a base, which is Swaggy P making a jumper. Sometimes he wouldn't dive for a ball in left field, like Swaggy P missing four jumpers in a row.
He did earn America tacos.
And you don't think that's in Swaggy P's wheelhouse to do?
That actually does feel like a move. I guess they don't have a sweat. Well, there's always a trade deadline.
AJ Hinch? Perfect.
Yes. See, I wasn't that far off.
No, you weren't far off at all.
All right, I've got actual odds on LeBron James free agency, and we will tell you why you can pretty much write the Houston Rockets off when we come back. We're doing that here on the bench.
ESPN
97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Spain winning Group B. We talked about that as minus 160. That means 160 win 100. We'll have Glenn Davis coming on here the bottom of the hour in just a little bit. This is going to be a short segment. So LeBron James to the Rockets is really a hot topic and has been a hot topic. He made a comment about if you want to win and beat the Warriors, you don't only have to have a good team. You have to have the right team, and you have to have a team that has the right mentality. And there's a lot of things in there that smacked of basketball IQ and some things that I thought that he might be referencing the Houston Rockets. Because let's face it, Daryl Morey has intentionally been building to match up for the Warriors. So they're not far off from a strategic standpoint, as we saw in the series, taking a 3-2 lead before Chris Paul's injury. Chris Paul is considered a very smart player. James does some things that are questionable, but I don't think James is a dumb basketball player by any stretch of the imagination. And when I read that comment, I thought, boy, that could be the Houston Rockets. Then Mary Ridenour from the Akron Beacon, Eagle Beacon, I don't know, Akron Times, whatever Akron's
Beacon
newspaper
Journal
is. There you go.
Mary, Marla, whatever.
Marla, Mary. Yes, some lady who writes about the Cavs was on some radio show, or it was Marcellus's Wiley show in Los Angeles, and she said she heard it from LeBron's lips that he doesn't like the city of Houston. And so she said, I doubt it's going to be Houston. She heard him say, I don't like Houston, whenever they were on a trip to Houston. I don't like this city. Well, that's not a good thing. Then you hear LeBron already has one of his kids registered at a school in Los Angeles.
That's been refuted, Lance.
Oh, was that refuted?
Someone decided, well, let's just go ahead and call up the school out there in L.A. and see if that's in fact the case. And they're like, that's news to us.
No, of course they're saying that. You think they want to lose that tuition?
I think they'll be fully enrolled.
Yes. And then the last one was, now it's coming out where people who are close to LeBron James, including Dwayne Wade, are saying that lifestyle is going to be a really big thing for LeBron James, and that something he's going to prioritize. Now, if you consider this, wherever LeBron goes, there's going to be a good chance to win. Okay, well, then lifestyle might not preclude him from having a good shot at winning a championship. I still think Paul George will probably follow him over to Los Angeles. There is a chance that they could steal Chris Paul away and that Chris Paul could end up going to Los Angeles. But what I'm trying to say is that LeBron James, I just saw odds this morning, LeBron to L.A. is minus 130. That means he is the favorite and everything else is a different odd. So CBS Sportsline had odds that said L.A. is plus 200, which means one is 2-1. Then it's the Sixers, then it's the Heat, then it's the Knicks, then it's the Rockets. So the Knicks are now ahead of the Rockets. The Heat are now ahead of the Rockets. The Rockets basically, I think this is over for the Rockets. As soon as I heard her say that LeBron doesn't like the city of Houston, well, I don't think he's going to move somewhere where he's got to go live if quality of life is so important, according to Dwayne Wade, who's a good friend, and he doesn't like the city. Then there's no reason for him to be in Houston. He won't be a Rocket.
And yesterday, we played sound from your talk with Bun, I think from this past Friday or last Friday, where you asked Bun about LeBron in Houston. And Bun said LeBron likes a culture, but when you specifically asked him about what LeBron thinks of the city, Bun was like, well, I can't really speak on that. So
I didn't even realize that.
Now, the thought is, now it's time to speculate, because why wouldn't we do that? Was Bun avoiding that question because he didn't want to give LeBron's thoughts, or did he know LeBron doesn't like Houston and didn't want to put it out there?
Or did he say, I can't speak on that because he doesn't know.
That's the other one. But that's not the fun. That's not the fun reasoning, Adam.
Look at me dropping logic and simpleton nature on that comment.
That's not fun.
That is not fun.
Well, I think LeBron is... I think it's going to be L.A. I think it's going to be L.A. When you start to add everything up, they've got the money. They've got the enticements for other free agents to come.
Well, would somebody be smart, some fellow player be smart and try to keep LeBron from being a superpower? Like, I'm just basically saying, is Paul George going to say, yeah, L.A., let's go to L.A. And then LeBron signs his deal and Paul George drops his pen, doesn't sign his deal and says, I'm staying with Russ. OKC,
oh,
baby.
Yeah, that's – no, there's a great chance that happens. No one wants to play with Russ. This has got to end. Where's Melo? Oh, don't even start the Melo to Houston thing. I just realized with Trevor Ariza leaving, everyone's going to restart this Carmelo Anthony to Houston thing.
Are you saying you wouldn't trade Ryan Anderson to the Thunder for Carmelo?
I'm saying I don't want Carmelo. I keep that amazing Ryan Anderson trade chip available for somebody else.
A trade chip would imply that anyone wants to eat it. I don't know if anyone wants any part
It's a delicious trade chip.
What flavor Takis is Ryan Anderson?
Doo-doo.
Ooh. Doo-doo Takis?
Wow.
Hot Cheetos and doo-doo Takis?
That's not a good song.
No.
I got some doo-doo Takis. And these doo-doo Takis last a long, long time. A long time. All right. Well, no, hey, Ryan Anderson used to make threes. It wasn't so bad when it first signed. It just seems like it's like during the Warriors, it looked like, oh, my God, I don't even want him suiting up right now with the Warrior matchup. Let's break it right here. Glenn Davis coming up when we come back right here on The Bench. I switch gears to the night shift, blacking out because I'm enlightened. God talks to me in
silence, but I hear him every time, man. The most delicious app in the business and the easiest steak you can download. Wait, I think I messed that up. The most delicious steak in the business and the easiest sports radio app you can download.
Nice.
Yeah, right?
Saltgrass Steakhouse presents the ESPN 97.5 app. Download it today. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Soccer matters. And it really, really matters around the world in a more intensified way starting today. As the World Cup gets underway, World Cup 2018, and unfortunately the U.S. will not be participating. That was a very disappointing disappointing turn of events in the qualifiers. Joining us right now is the host of Soccer Matters and the guy who's going to be very intimately involved with the World Cup broadcast, and that is our very own Glenn Davis. Glenn, welcome on the show.
Guys, good morning. John, Lance, how are you guys doing?
Good. It's Wexler. Adam Wexler is sitting
Adam,
in for John
sorry.
Today.
My apologies.
No problem. First and foremost, I want to start with World Cup 2026. The U.S., Canada, and Mexico got together for a united effort in a bid to host the World Cup. They were victorious, and now the thought is that Houston, because they have hosted international matches there at Energy Stadium, because our infrastructure is set up to handle large events like the Super Bowl, for example, that has gone on with people traveling from around the country. A lot of people believe that Houston has a very good shot at getting World Cup matchups in 2026. I want to get your thoughts on the process and then Houston being a player.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the Houston Harris County Sports Authority has been planning for this. Now all the wheels are in motion now because these types of things take a long time. I think the first thing they're going to have to do locally in Houston is educate people, quite frankly, people that could be potential sponsors, people that can help get behind the bid. I think you mentioned the fact that we've hosted big international events. It's also, there's other criteria, the diversity of the city, the amount of soccer fans we have, the strength of the soccer community from the grassroots up, location. You mentioned infrastructure. BBVA Compass Stadium, even though it wouldn't host games, would also be another great piece to this bid because, that stadium could be used for ancillary events. These processes, as you guys know, take a long time. There's huge money involved in World Cups. The amount of money that's going to come to the United States, Mexico, and Canada for this, ridiculous. But just from the pure soccer side of it, it could be magnificent for Houston and our soccer community if, in fact, games were held there. I mean, can you imagine? It's the world's biggest sporting event. It is 8 years away, but it still is pretty remarkable. So it's exciting that the bid comes to the United States. I think it's going to be another spike for the game. And I don't just mean on the corporate side, but also on the player development side and the potential that's out there, you know.
I want to ask you one more and let Dell and Wex get in after that. But with the U.S. not making it, you know, I've long been a proponent. I see what's coming. The rise of soccer is inevitable from a lot of different – you can see the telltale signs with children being able to play FIFA soccer is a major, major deal because it's an introduction into a sport that maybe they didn't grow up with previously. The youth soccer movement is much, much bigger in this country. But the one area that's been really disappointing with the phenomenal athletes that we have coming out of this country is that the U.S. soccer program has been very, very slow to move forward relative to what people's expectations have been, dating back to 94 when they were a surprise team. Not making the World Cup in 2018, is that a bump in the road to you, or is that really a setback because of what it could have meant for the, you know, continued emergence of the sport in this country?
For the next 5 weeks, it's a setback. It's a setback when it comes to the attention that could have been grabbed, but I actually think it's very healthy. There needed to be change. There needs to be other people's opinions brought to the table by U.S. soccer. It's pulled back the drapes on the Wizard of Oz a little bit. It's reminded us all so many decisions are made for financial reasons in this country when it comes to soccer, and that player development has to be moved to the forefront. From strictly the national team's perspective, it has now allowed a very talented group of under 20 and under 17 players and you know, players 21, 20, 22, 19 to have grabbed a tremendous experience, for instance, just last week, that they never would have gotten, immeasurable experience playing France in front of a packed stadium in Europe, that if this had not happened, these kids wouldn't get this opportunity for the next 2 years. So there's a real good level of talent that has kind of been bypassed when it comes to the whole discussion of U.S. soccer that is going to get blooded, is going to get games, is going to be allowed to make mistakes for the next couple of years. And by the time the next phase for World Cup qualifying comes around, these kids are going to have gained experience that our 19 and 20-year-olds have never, ever gotten throughout the history of U.S. soccer. So they're playing at clubs in Germany. They're starting for teams in Germany. So from that perspective, it's fresh and it's actually very, very healthy. I think to a degree, U.S. soccer was run a little bit like a mom-and-pop operation. And I think we have to see it was a money-making organization first and foremost. We understand that. But I think with the hiring of a general manager now, I want to see what Ernie Stewart's job description is going to be. And I want to know how much autonomy he's going to have when it comes to helping make soccer decisions, or is it just going to still come from the top? I think that's what everybody's really looking at when it comes to the overall U.S. soccer program.
Glenn, along the lines of World Cup 2026, you know, I had a chance to briefly talk with Chris Canetti yesterday, talked with Memo Rodriguez and Arturo Alvarez, those two players, obviously Houstonians, and was asking them about the idea that Houston has become a very good soccer city and things that have changed over their lifetimes, different age players. But in terms of how you look at that, how do you think it's are you able to visualize change in Houston as a soccer community as it relates to being the type of city that should be hosting World Cup matches?
Well, Houston's always been a good soccer city. It's been a best-kept secret, so that's nothing new. I think it's events like this and moments like this that, Adam, bring it to the forefront, you know, and shine the light on it. Houston's had people that have made tremendous efforts. Nobody even knows their names in growing, organizing, tilling the soil that don't get a lot of credit. You know, it's generally, you know, the clubs and the big events that everybody gravitates to. But there's been worker bees and people that have been passionate about the game and the Hispanic community, guys like Victor Delgadillo. I mean, we can go way back. I could whip off a bunch of names. But this, again, brings you that great bump, right, that gives you excitement now for the next 8 years. You know, imagine if the bid went to Morocco and we're going into the opening game today against Russia and Saudi Arabia. I mean, this was a nice little caveat and a piece of excitement for the United States. And, of course, Fox Sports is very happy about it, too, because they got the rights to that World Cup. So, you know, it's been a nice piece that's going to, I think, for us in Houston specifically, in our soccer community, it's just another amazing thing to look forward to and dream about. And, you know, you walk by Energy Stadium and you could think, wow, you know, 2026, I could be in here, you know, watching Argentina, Brazil, the United States, Mexico, who knows?
Glenn, a lot of talk about the U.S. and their way going forward. What's the prognosis or even the diagnosis for Mexico, our neighbors to the south? A matchup with Brazil is a possibility in the second round, which you would assume would mean an exit. Where does Mexico go? What's the health of that program? And are they looking at change if things don't go well for them?
Yeah, generally a lot of change occurs. People the results they want at World Cups. Well, first of all, they got to get out of their group. So, I mean, I think we have to recognize that they're in a very difficult group, and certainly they started off with Germany, which is not an easy way to start. In some ways, though, I think that is not a bad thing for Mexico, because you get Germany in the very first game. You know, the expectations in Mexico, I think, are always overblown. It's an amazing soccer-playing country. Culture is ridiculous. The following of the game is ridiculous. Look at the amount of Mexican clubs that come through Houston, that play friendly games in Houston and draw, right, over at BBVA Compass Stadium. Chris Tinetti said to me, we were talking yesterday, said, well, BBVA Compass Stadium, we have more international games than anybody. And I'm like, well, yeah, because guess what? We're on the border, and we're the gateway to Mexico and South America, and these pro teams love coming to Houston. They're a draw, just like the Mexican national team is the most supported national team in the United States. That's a fact. We all know that. So, you know, you bring Chivas or Tigres of Mexico to Houston and put them in a game at BBVA Compass Stadium, people want to go see them. Rayados of Monterrey. So Mexico's soccer culture, amazing. Their league is a league that's got stars in it, money. But when they play in a World Cup, I think, like many countries, the expectation is we're supposed to win it. And the expectations get blown out of proportion. I don't believe their coach, Juan Carlos Osorio, he'll be gone after this World Cup. He could even potentially be a target for the U.S. So that's why the U.S. is kind of waiting. They're waiting to see what happens with some of the World Cup managers once it is over. But Mexico is a soccer-playing nation. Unbelievable.
Glenn Davis joins us right now. His show, Soccer Matters, is you really have a lot of fun. You guys, you get some fantastic guests on your show. I mean, I'm up here working on draft stuff, and when I'm going out, sometimes you are coming in, and you've always got a lively show that's jumping off on that one.
Yeah, it's been great, because I try to mix it up. I try to, you know, obviously get people that people recognize, just like anybody would want, but I also want to get people that are maybe kind of underliers that people don't know about, and give them a platform and an opportunity to talk about the sport. But it's fun. I mean, as you guys know, radio is an incredible medium. It's great with the soccer fans. They know the show now. It's been around. It's got roots. People come up to you all the time asking about different things soccer-wise, And we got great callers coming in, and people are not afraid to give their opinion. So it's all good. And I did the show out here in Los Angeles yesterday, and Mike Pearson got me set up, and a guy named Adam Bronstein, and I was down by LA Live and did it out of their studio. It was great.
So I got it. Before you go, I have to ask you about a couple of things. You know, I'll ask you the standard, who do you like in this one? I know Brazil's a small favorite, and then Germany, and then followed by Spain, and then – and then France is what I've just seen. What the odds are? I'm kind of interested in the video assisting referees, the VARs that they're using for the World Cup, where you have guys in a control room basically making more of the offsides decisions. How is that going to work?
Yeah, so the video assistant is an attempt to kind of eliminate major mistakes when it comes to officiating. So, reviewable or goals, mistaken identity, red cards, And here's the thing we have to be careful with on this World Cup, because it's just been instituted. It's just been instituted. So there's a number of referees in this World Cup that are going to be using a video assistant that have not really done it before, and a lot of players that have been in leagues where it's not implemented. So that's one to keep an eye on in this World Cup. That could be slightly problematic, I think. And basically, you know, they have the eyes of somebody looking at a monitor that can help them with decision-making, if I make it very simplified.
And then in terms of the in terms of how you see this World Cup finishing?
Wow. Let's hope it finishes event-free in Russia. I think there's going to be tremendous drama. We've already had drama with Spain's coach, you know, dropping out, and there's all kinds of politics around the Spanish national team right now. You know, only 8 teams have won the World Cup in history. I still think it's a traditional power. I think teams like Iceland and the ones that we believe from a collective standpoint can compete, will compete, and will win games, and will get into knockout stages. But the teams that have the game changers, the Neymars of the world, the Messis, the Timo Werners, the Kimmichs, these are the teams that are going to win the World Cup. It is a long shot for a team of 11 hardworking collective players without those types of players to win it. On the other hand, every team's got a creative player or two, so I think there's going to be some tremendous storylines, but I still think it's going to be a traditional soccer power that ultimately wins it.
Sounds exactly like the NBA playoffs. We got to let you go. Glenn Davis is going to be calling. It does. I mean, it sounds exactly like that.
I know. Please, I, you know, guys, one day we have to, and I want you guys to come on my show. One day I want to talk about the lack of consequence in professional sports now during the regular season. We need to have a roundtable discussion.
Well, see, and I think soccer overreacts with their consequence if we're talking about managers being whacked at this point and that point. But we will absolutely. I would love to do that.
No, that's a great discussion because, look, I don't know basketball like you guys, but all I know is when I saw the Rockets playing Golden State, I saw guys defending another yard closer to each other, getting in people's faces. I didn't see that during the regular season much.
Well, trust me, this is something we'll talk about. When you get back, and we know you have Saturday's match, Croatia and Nigeria, that game is going to be on Fox Sports 1 on Saturday. You can hear Glenn making that call. So make sure to check out Glenn Davis. And I guess we'll have to put Soccer Matters on hold while you're handling that important thing called the World Cup. So we will
We'll be on next Wednesday. I'm doing it from Los Angeles. So we're not stopping.
You're still going to be able to do it every single
Absolutely.
Week.
Absolutely, I did it last night. Yeah, we're not shutting people out during the World Cup.
Hardest working man during the World Cup, right there, Glenn Davis. Glenn, thanks for joining us this morning. I know it's very early where you are right now.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
You know how I know, Dell? Because I'm here, where he is on the West Coast, and it's very early here. It was even earlier when I had to wake up. When we come back, we'll jump into we'll get into some other topics, including I want to get to the end of camp with Wex and Dell, talk about that, and we've got a couple of fun stories. Thanks to Glenn Davis for joining us. I want to tell you about Renter's Warehouse. If you are on the move, I'm going to give you a very specific scenario because I heard about this at a golf tournament about a month ago. There was a guy who had to move, but he didn't. It was a work-related move, so he had to move. He knew he and his family were going to move 2 to 3 years. And we were talking at this tournament about it. He said, I know you talked about Renter's Warehouse, so can I rent my – will they do – like, how much will they do? And I said, well, they handle everything. You pay your one low monthly fee. They can get your property ready to rent, you know, make the cosmetic adjustments necessary. They'll find you renters. They'll market the property, find you renters, warranty the renters. And then they, you know, can help you set the price, which is extremely important. And then they collect rent on top of that and handle anything that happens. And he said, so I don't have to do anything because I'm not going to live in this state. I said, no, you don't have to do anything. They do everything. And then what was important for him is that the house is taken care of, because when his 2 to 3 year run in another city is done for work, he wants to come back here and move right back into the house. And that is a perfect way to utilize Renter's Warehouse if you're looking to do that. I'm giving you a very specific example, but that's one of the things they do. So go to renterswarehouse.com or give them a call today at 713-224-RENT.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You confess it, but it will not come. You can test it, but it will not fail. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Lance and Adam Wexler. Wex, I definitely appreciate you jumping in here over the last couple days while I've been doing the show. It's funny, I'm doing the show on an iPad. I'm all excited about it. Like, I get all excited about telling radio people because it's never – I'm using an app. I'm not even using the Comrex because I never heard back from the engineer about fixing it. So luckily I have this app, and I'm actually broadcasting on an iPad with a variety of connections that are adapters, and I've got an Ethernet plugged into my iPad. You prefer
that to a big, clunky Comrex box?
Actually, you know, I mean, there's a lot more wires here, but have you guys heard any issues with the connection?
No, just the content.
Yeah, the content hasn't been good. But the connection's been okay, and I think the microphone has worked fine. So this is like – I don't know anyone that's ever done this broadcast. I take it back. I actually did one off an iPad back in 2014 in a New York hotel with just a Wi-Fi. I have no idea how we stayed connected. This is the day after the Texans took Jadeveon Clowney, which, you know, by the way, ended up being a pretty good pick. I know that pick looks suspicious – or suspect after the first year. Mario Williams looked suspect after the first year. But both of them ended up being pretty good picks.
Just give me a quick hit since you brought it up on Jadeveon Clowney. Any concern about the injury and his readiness, recovery from surgery, or any thought that there's even a possibility they won't have his new deal done before camp?
New deal could be tagged to his health. But I would say no. I'm not too worried about Jadeveon Clowney right now. I think he's supposed to come back in good standing. Deshaun should come back in good standing. And, of course, J.J. Watt is just the wait and see. Hey, guys, I'm going to duck out of here a little bit early and let Dell and Raheel take over as I fly back to Houston. Thanks to Adam Wexler for coming in. Thanks to you guys for listening. Make sure you keep it right here. Dell and Raheel will take you the rest of the way.
Answer that.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.